Good morning, everyone. I'd like to begin the Upper District meeting here at 8 o'clock on this February 24th. And we'll go to the agenda item number one, which is Pledge Allegiance. Can we start that up, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. We'll go to item number two, which is the call. Roll call for the board of directors. If you hear your name, please signify that you are present. And I'll begin with Director Fellow.
Here.
Director Garcia.
Here.
Director Trevino.
Here.
Director Santana.
Here.
And Director Chavez is here. Let the record show that all members are present for this meeting. Item number three is the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Trevino.
It's a move by Director Fellow and seconded by Director Trevino to approve the agenda as presented. Any discussions? Hearing none, then let's take a roll call vote. So we'll start with Director Fellow.
Aye.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Trevino.
Aye.
Director Santana?
Aye.
And Director Chavez, aye. Item number three to adopt the agenda has passed on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number four, public comments, and I'll ask Christy Hawkins. Are there any public comments today?
Good morning, President Chavez. We received no written comments, and I see no hands raised at this time. Thank you.
Okay. I'll just pause a couple of seconds to see if we have anybody else that wishes to add any comments. If not, then we'll move to item number five, which is a consent calendar. We have one action item to approve the minutes. Is there a motion?
So moved.
You know.
It's been moved by Director Fellow, seconded by Director Trevino to approve the consent calendar as presented. Any questions or objections? Hearing none, then we'll go ahead and move to a roll call vote. And I'll go ahead and begin with Director Fellow.
Aye.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Trevino.
Aye.
Director Santana.
Aye.
And Director Chavez, aye. The consent calendar is approved on a 5-0 vote, so thank you for that. We'll go to item number six, action items. There are two items before us. So we'll go to item 6A, which is to approve the recommended legislative positions and legislative updates. There's a recommendation on from staff. So is there a motion? And then we'll do discussion right after. So can I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, so was that Garcia or Santana?
Santana.
Okay, so it was moved by Director Santana, seconded by Director Fellow to approve the legislative updates. Is there any recommendations or Patty, do you have any thing that you need to add to that?
The only thing that I will add is on SB 45 with the position of support if amended, usually we will go ahead and submit position statements for the bills, but on this one, just to let you know that I will be holding off on it as we kind of negotiate what the priorities are for funding in the package.
Okay, great. Any other discussion on this item? If not, then we'll go ahead and vote on the motion. So we'll go ahead and begin with Director Trevino.
Aye. Aye.
I'm sorry. Okay, Director Trevino, Director Fellow.
Aye.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Santana?
Aye.
And Director Chavez, aye. So item 6A is approved on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to 6B, which is a strategic plan review. There's no recommendations to take any action. But, Tom, do you have any discussion on this?
Yes, I do. So let me just a brief presentation. What you should see before you is the presentation titled Strategic Plan February 2021 Status Report. Is that showing on your screens?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the strategic plan was adopted in March of 2019. There's 93 objectives under 4 primary goals and a number of strategies. And so the last formal update I provided to the board, I believe, was November of 2020. And also for the last couple of months, I have been reporting on the various goals related to each committee at the committee meetings. And so let me go through this page down, if it will. Sorry about that. All right, just a quick reminder. I always like to put this up in this presentation as a reminder of the mission statement that was adopted by the board in March of 2019. And the mission is to consistently meet our region's need for reliable, high quality, and affordable water. The vision statement, this is what we'd like to see ourselves in the future. This is what we're trying to achieve, is a high quality of life in the San Gabriel Valley by providing valued water services. And then third is the district's core values. I always emphasize the importance of these. This is how we work, how we interact, and how we conduct business. Transparency, professionalism, integrity, collaboration, and innovation. And so we continue to use these when we conduct ourselves and work towards accomplishing the goals and objectives in the strategic plan. So a summary of the strategic plan goals, we've got 4 primary goals: water reliability, financial integrity, effective workforce and governance, and effective community engagement. And you can see under each of those, there are various strategies and objectives. And so I'm going to go into each one of those now and bring you up the matrix that you've seen at the committee meetings for each one of these goals. So on water reliability, the strategies are planning for reliability, emergency preparedness, water use efficiency, water quality and reliability, main San Gabriel Basin groundwater sustainability, and upper district facilities maintenance and service. And so we've continued to make good progress on these. And I mentioned this at the committee meeting last night, is one is providing technical assistance to the producers on water quality is one that we're kind of evaluating. What is the district role, and does the district have a role in that regard? But other than that, most of these have either been completed or are in process. We do need to continue our work on the emergency preparedness update to our emergency response plan. But one point I want to make is, even though some of these show in the green area as complete, that means that we've accomplished the objective, but the objective requires ongoing monitoring or ongoing updates. Some of these things are done annually. For instance, our budget, that's not on this one, but budget is done annually. Others, just because we finished it or accomplished the objective, it doesn't mean we stop working on it. So I wanted to make that clear. On financial integrity, again, the strategies are to make sure we have the financial capacity for reliable service, ensure that our policies are current and updated, financial reporting and transparency, grants and MWD incentives, and pension OPEB management. And again, on these, largely, we have accomplished the objective, but most of these are ongoing. So, for example, I'll pick on our attorney for one. So one of our objectives is to maintain legal counsel services. Well, obviously, yeah, we have done that. We do have legal counsel services, but we need to continue to have legal counsel services. So that's not one that goes away just because we check the box and say it's completed. Next is workforce and governance. This one has the most objectives, as you can see by the size of the matrix here. But the strategies are workforce safety and health, workforce human resources awareness, maintaining accountability, high performance team approach, retain effective workforce, effective communications with the staff and the board, efficient facilities and systems, and efficient business practices. And again, these are either underway or we have accomplished the objective. But again, many of these, you'll see a lot of monitor and update listings under status. That means that we continue to work on those objectives. They're just not, they're accomplished, but they're not done. And then lastly, outreach and engagement. Again, the strategies here are representation at Metropolitan, support the Upper District Board, our community outreach, our customer and stakeholder experience, and federal, state, and local support. So there's one here I wanted to kind of highlight that we are just started working on, and if I can find it here. But one of the things we wanted to do, and I cannot pinpoint it here, is to do a perception survey, send out a perception survey. So we've just started discussing what questions do we want to have answered? What do we want to know about how the public sees Upper District? Do they even know who we are? Do they know what we do? And so we are working on that, and later on this spring, get that finalized and ready to send out, share that probably with the Government Affairs Committee. So in summary, 93 objectives. Of those, 59 objectives are complete or ongoing. 33 objectives we're working on those. And one objective is under evaluation, the one I mentioned earlier. And so as I see it, our next steps is continue to monitor those completed objectives, work on the objectives in progress, develop a plan and schedule for the remaining objectives, which we have. And then the recommendation is to have a 2021 board review and update of the strategic plan. Now, I had mentioned previously at certainly in the committee meetings and probably at the board meetings, I originally had planned to ask the board to schedule a retreat in March of 2021. But because of the restrictions and the fact that we're doing online meetings, I recommend that we postpone that and take a look in the fall, see how things are developing in terms of the pandemic and restrictions, and see if there's an opportunity where we might be able, by the end of 2021, actually hold an in-person meeting to go through that strategic plan review. And with that, be happy to take any comments or questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Love. So, members of the board, any questions for our general manager on this report?
Mr. Chavez?
Yes, Dr. Pello?
Tom, I like the, maybe I've missed it in the past, the perception survey. I think that's very good. My question is, how are we going to get the perceptions of the public? Like, what kind of database or?
So we're working with Terry with Patty Terry. I can't remember the name of Terry's firm. Up with Steve Baker.
Oh, okay.
So there is a firm that I'm looking at. I need to get their like a proposal from them. It's FML3. You'll recall that we did use them a couple years back when we did the water bond survey. They were recommended to us by Marketplace Communications. So, we'll use them and, you know, like I said, get a proposal from them. They're very well known and have been used for several, statewide surveys in the past. And the way the process works is they will kind of sit with us and we'll kind of form a parameter of what we would like to be, asked of our residents. Usually the lists that are pulled are from like those that's like the high propensity voter lists that are available for us to purchase. So usually they're pulled off of those lists. We'll decide on a sample study size And then they will go ahead and make those calls. They'll either be through email or through phone calls, but they handle that process once we've agreed to the parameters and then the study questions. So it's going to be a process, and we'll go, you know, we'll walk through it and hopefully have it ready. It is written into next year's fiscal budget. So the intent is that we would have the funds to implement it in the fall.
Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we have any other questions or comments from the board? If not, thank you, Mr. Love, for the strategic plan review. And then we'll go to item number 7, informational items. We have press releases and newspaper articles that are in our packets that you may read at your leisure. And then we'll go to number 8, attorney's report. Mr. O'Neill said we're not going to be able to see him, but he is wearing a suit and tie, so we'll yeah. take your word on that, sir.
Well, I was able to fix my camera, President Chavez, so
okay.
Here I am in my morning glory. So just want to report on a couple of things. As far as the district goes, worked on some we completed and finalized some filling station contracts in the past few weeks. Also drafted work with staff to get a resolution together regarding the meeting time change for the district. But I wanted to report on something, and I know Patty may want to weigh in as well, on a bill that was introduced last Friday, I believe, by Christina Garcia. And it is Assembly Bill 1195. And it, in my view, it arises out of some of the bill that Assembly person Garcia introduced last year concerning Central Basin and the Water Replenishment District. You may recall there was a bill proposed to have the WRD act as the receiver for Central Basin, but that bill did not pass. But under this new bill, would be entitled the Southern Los Angeles County Regional Water Agency Act. And what it proposes to do was to create a new agency. It would be called the Southern LA County Regional Water Agency. And its jurisdiction would encompass essentially the WRD service area. All communities overlying the Central Basin and West Coast Basin aquifers, which, as you know, is coincident with the WRD service area. And what it would do would create this regional agency that's intended to serve the drinking water needs of the cities and unincorporated areas and in Southern LA County. It would be composed of a 5-member board of elected officials that would be appointed to the board. And it has a kind of a composite board in terms of appointments. One would be appointed by the governor, another by the LA County Board of Supervisors, the third from the Gateway Cities COG, the fourth would be the South Bay Cities COG, and the fifth would be the San Gabriel Valley Council of Governments. So you'd have this kind of appointed 5-member board. There's a requirement that the general manager have at least 5 years of experience in managing a water agency. And that would be the kind of the governance structure that would be created by the bill. Of course, an important element of this is the powers that the agency would enjoy. And in our view, the powers are very broad. And it allows this new agency to essentially operate public water systems or other water infrastructure that's out there. And it allows them to consolidate the operation of public water systems under the supervision of the State Water Resources Control Board. And it allows some other related broad powers, similar to the powers that the district has as a municipal water district. They can, it would be able to implement water quality projects. It could assist other systems in managing their water systems through technical assistance and things like that. But of course, you know, I think the real issue here is what is the intent? Because this agency is also empowered to exercise the right of eminent domain, which would allow them to essentially condemn the property of other water agencies and take them over with LAFCO supervision. Again, this bill, I think, was just introduced on Friday. There were some article. I know there was one article out there that said it was going to dissolve the West Basin Municipal Water District, Central Basin, and WRD. But it doesn't expressly say that. However, it does pose the potential for that. So it's, of course, a bill that's getting a lot of people's attention. And we just had our first look at it. We got a copy of it on over the weekend. So we have an analysis that's just about complete that we're going to share with Tom and Patty. And we'll just keep an eye on this and see how it moves forward. Patty, do you have anything to add? I was trying to capture, there's a lot in it. I was trying to capture all of it.
Yeah, I think you captured a lot of the main points. You know, the other thing that stood out to me was that in addition to the eminent domain powers, it also gives this entity the authority to assume and acquire water rights, which I think also poses a huge problem in the bill. So we do know that this comes from the Speaker's office. I think Steve mentioned that. So Steve Baker has had some conversations with Alf Brandt about the bill. We are, you know, closely monitoring it. I have a call set with the California Special Districts Association just to kind of get their perspective on the bill and see if they were a part of it. When the Central Basin bill came out last year, CSDA was involved in it. So I'd be curious to see what their perspective is on this new entity. And I believe, Steve, you could kind of elaborate more like as you go through it, but it's also kind of offering some conflicting powers because the state board already has the authority to authorize these consolidations. So it's kind of like you're setting like a middle bureaucracy in the, you know, in between that layer. So we'll see what happens. It is on Metropolitan's radar as well. So we're all kind of having conversations. There have been no official bill positions made by any entity yet. So as those come up, I'll be updating you as well.
Yeah, I'd follow up, Patty. That's a good point. The way the statute is constructed, it's kind of turns or it refers to this existing set of statutes in the Health and Safety Code that govern that give the state board a lot of powers that I think originally was intended to go and help out a struggling agency of some kind, perhaps like a mutual. Mm-hmm. But it takes that power and puts it into this new agency. And we still can't figure out what I'm trying to answer. The question is this intended to be a substitute for the existing boards, or is it yet another layer of oversight over the existing boards? Because it says the language is discretionary. It says they may exercise this power once they're formed. Doesn't say they have to. So, my own, whatever, perhaps I'll get in trouble on this, but I've always thought that the local level of government is the most effective. It's closest to the people. And that, putting in another layer of a state appointed or non-elected people in that position is a bit of a concern, I think. So.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys. Any questions for our attorney regarding this matter? Yes, Director Santana.
Oh, thank you. So this bill, this has a specific geographic region. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And does it include Upper District Service Area?
No. It is the West and Central groundwater basin. So there, I'm not sure how far north, Patty, the Central Basin goes. Is it up to like Maywood, Vernon, that area?
Well, I think that's why the cog was pulled in, the San Gabriel Valley cog was pulled into it because it cuts into like Monterey Park, Montebello area. And I believe that's the area that captures. So that's as close as it gets to Upper District.
And the city of Whittier is right on the border.
Correct. Whittier as well.
And Director Santana, the West Coast Basin is essentially Southwest LA County from El Segundo down to, below Palos Verdes.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other thoughts or questions?
And Mr. Yeah, I just have a comment.
Yes, Director Trevino.
I think there's a concern in the legislature, as the attorney has mentioned. I agree with him that really we should have local control of local projects. But there's a concern in the legislature that that local control means being responsible to the people they represent. And when that is missing, then the legislature really has no choice but to intervene. And so I think that's the caveat there. You know, local control is important, and local control is good when the local agencies are responsive to the needs of their constituents. That's my comment.
Great. Thank you. Okay. What's that? Yes, Dr. Fellow.
Follow up on a question that Ms. Santana talked about. When we talk about jurisdiction, I didn't know about the jurisdiction over LA County. Is that just in the Central Basin area, or we're talking about all of Los Angeles County?
It's designed to, as I see it, it's the Water Replenishment District service area, which is essentially the the Central Basin service area plus the West Basin service area.
Okay, thank you.
And Steve, I think WRD also covers a portion of LADWP service area.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. The harbor and the city of LA area between Central Basin and West Basin.
Yeah, and as you can imagine, this has gotten West Basin's attention as well. And I serve as their general counsel, so whatever I learn, from working with them through their lobbyist, I'll certainly share with Tom and Patty.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'll go ahead and continue on item number 9, which is general manager's report. Mr. Love.
So in addition to the written report, I do want to point out a couple of things. Our focus on the finance side right now is the preparation of the budget. And along with that this year is we are evaluating how are we going to get revenue to cover the increasing metropolitan readiness to serve charge, which up until last year had been covered by a property tax standby charge imposed by Metropolitan and collected in Upper District service area. So we have already engaged with the producers on some discussion regarding how we're going to handle this RTS charge in our budget and rates. And we will be holding our producer meeting, which historically, at least for the last couple of years, we've held quarterly. We are now scheduling those monthly because we have a lot to discuss and want to make sure we are well communicating very well with our producers as we look at the options on budget and the rates. And then secondly, Patty reported at the Government Affairs Committee that we are looking at a new contract with Spectrum Cable, which is much more focused to our service area. And we will have like a 30-second ad spot. And frankly, it's very, very cost effective. And so with that, we have the first spot ready to go. And we want to share that with the board today. So whoever has that queued up, if you could share the video.
Do you know where your water comes from? In the San Gabriel Valley, approximately 80% of our water comes from a groundwater basin. The remaining water is imported from the Bay Delta in Northern California through the State Water Project. As a regional water wholesaler, the Upper District is charged with managing imported water deliveries to supplement the basin. Upper District takes great pride to consistently meet our region's need for reliable, high quality, and affordable water.
So, quick quick 30-second spot. Anybody in our service area, it is actually targeted by zip code. So we give Spectrum a list of all the zip codes that encompass our service area, and that's the only place that these ads will air. So we would just want to share that with you, and there will be more rolling out as we go forward. Patty, anything to add to that?
No, it should start streaming this Saturday is what we were told. It's a 3-month campaign, so between now through April. We do have the option to change that 30-second spot, and they've offered to give us a discount on creating a new commercial, so we'll kind of brainstorm and think of what other messages we can put out there. So it'll, as Tom mentioned, it'll be on streaming TV, so all the app-based watching, in all of our service area based on zip code. And then those customers that actually have Spectrum as their cable provider, those commercials will run during like the live TV, viewing. So it's pretty exciting, something new and different to do. And we'll get, as far as like the results and also impressions from this campaign, which I'll share with you once those become available.
Great. Anything else, Mr. Love?
No, nothing else under the GM report.
Great. Thank you. We'll go to item number number 10, where director's comments. So I'll start off with Director Fellow. Director Fellow, any comments?
I think you're on mute.
Excuse me. I just wanted to get the board up to date on some MWD comments that I have and let you know that Gloria Gray, the chairwoman, is constantly in touch with me. We talk weekly, and before yesterday's executive meeting, she called me. And our discussions at the moment center around the incidents you've read about in the Los Angeles Times. And as you know, in December 2020, the MWD's ethics officer entered into a contract with the Shaw Law Group to conduct a board-directed independent review of allegations of systemic discrimination, harassment, retaliation, and related concerns at MWD. And with that, I intend to provide you with the updates as rapidly as I can. And yesterday at the executive meeting, we received a summary by Abel Salinas, the executive ethics officer, about the work that the Shaw Law Group up to date has taken and their next steps. And in summary, I just wanted to report that the firm has completed the following. They've conducted over 50 hours of interviews, including members of the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Council, General Counsel, Human Resources staff, and two of the three employees who raised concerns about the district's handling of their internal EEO complaints, 37 individuals to date. They've reviewed numerous documents provided by employees regarding metropolitan policies and practices prior to investigations of the EEO complaints, and issued a district-wide climate assessment survey to 1,854 employees. The largest polling, I think, has been done by Met to share their experiences working for Metropolitan. 1,398 employees have completed that survey. And the next steps will include interviewing more than 125 employees who requested to speak with the firm, interviewing approximately 45 management employees, both in the field and the Metropolitan headquarters, including additional human resources and general counsel staff, apprenticeship staff, and others, and analyzing survey results and reviewing additional documents. And the firm indicated that... their goal is to complete the review provide a recommendation to the board of directors by April 30th, 2021. However, they caution that the completion date depends on developments over the next several weeks. And I will continue to keep the board up to date on this important matter. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. So we'll continue with reports. So we'll go to Director Garcia.
I'm just excited to see the perception surveys once those happen. So I'm curious to see like what our public does. And I also, just for Patty, I'm just curious if those commercials will be available on like other social media things like YouTube to reach a little bit more people, because I don't have cable. I use YouTube. I use TV. Like that. I think that's a more common experience. So just a thought to like explore that avenue as well, because, I think those videos are amazing. And frankly, like as a teacher and someone who teaches environmental science and water, I think those would be wonderful to share with members of the community who maybe don't show TV. So I love that spot. Like, I'm going to totally, whenever that's available to share, I'm going to share that with my students, because that's actually something they need to know, is where their water comes from. So I love it. And I would just love to see it more, to share widely.
Thank you. We'll go to Director Trevino.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm glad to hear the investigation is moving forward, as Director Fellow had mentioned. I'm glad to hear that the investigation will not be short-circuited and will continue probably until May of this year to get it, capture as many people as possible that want to talk about what's going on at Metropolitan. And also, I just want to say, there's a lot of things happening that happened recently. The letter from the motion by Nuri Martinez, the president of the city council, to look at Metropolitan and to see if the city of LA would like to continue the relationship with Metropolitan based on some of the things that have been happening with women. Also the legislature's proposed audit of Metropolitan by three legislators. Who have said that they are going to push forward for an audit of Metropolitan based on what's going on. And also, just the recent article in the LA Times. I just want to say that I really feel privileged and honored to have given voice to the women out there at Metropolitan who felt they had no voice. And I'm really, really, really honored that they've done that. And it's important for us to take note of what's going on, because, as I said before, this is what's happening with the concern of the legislature. There's some concern that water agencies might not be as responsive to the needs of their constituents as envisioned by local control. So that's my comment, Mr. President.
Thank you. We'll go to Director Santana.
Thank you. I wanted to, Director Garcia brought up a good point regarding the campaign. I'm excited we're moving to, our spot that's going to be on cable. I'm excited we're moving to cable, and that's going to be fun. We have cable, but I think mostly, especially my kids are kind of, they're more into the YouTube and those other different, they're not really into cable so much. So I think that's a good point as we try to reach more people for the future. And then secondly, I just wanted to mention that I had my first meeting for the San Gabriel Valley Water Association Legislative Committee this week. I have joined that committee and mostly just paying attention to what's going on there. So I thought it was really, it was a good committee meeting and helps to see what the other San Gabriel Valley partners are kind of thinking about as far as some of this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. And then my report, I have no report, so we'll go. Mr. Love, I think we have a public speaker from MWD.
Jeff Cable, he had a little technical difficulty joining the meeting when we had the public comment. And so he has raised his hand and would like to make public comment. And Jeff, I show your microphone muted. I don't know if that's on your end. There you go.
Okay. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I know this is fairly uncommon. Probably in the meeting, probably coming in the middle, but I will adhere to the
We're having a little difficulty hearing you. Could you guys move closer to the mic or speak a little louder?
How about now? Is that better?
A little bit.
Okay. I appreciate you recognizing me during the meeting. I know it's not common to have public comment sort of in the middle. But I will say within the 3-minute time limit. So my name is Jeff Cable. I'm an officer in Aspen for 1902 Group 12. And prior to that, I spent 10 years conducting ethics investigations in the Metropolitan Ethics Office. from my experience, not as a spokesperson, but to provide context for my comments. Recent articles in the LA Times from the LA City Council Twitter feed, and an online blog called Two Urban Girls, which I believe is loosely affiliated with Black Lives Matter, are alleging institutional retaliation and political abuse of power regarding metropolitan management and shareholding. The growing perception is that Metropolitan lobbied to remove Carlos Trevino with Donna Arcadia and Sylvia Fallon from the Metropolitan Board. This effort was an attempt to remove political opponents of the Metropolitan Chairwoman and to silence those leading the effort for an external investigation into sexual harassment of employees. Yesterday morning on the KUCI radio show Ask a Leader, the allegations arose again and comprised a large portion of the one-hour program. So this is becoming pervasive in the media. Certainly not all communications regarding agency representations or representatives is nefarious, but a context is important. So this morning, in the spirit of equal time, I would like to ask each of you, President Chavez, Vice President, and Director Costello and Garcia, if you had any communication with Metropolitan or West Basin regarding Trevino prior to your vote to replace him on the Metropolitan Board. And if so, to provide context to that communication for the public record. This is not an attempt to honor confidential information. Simply no, yes, the general context is right. This is your chance to speak to your constituents who elected you to office and to give you a voice in the public media. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you there. So we'll go ahead and continue on the agenda. We'll go to item number 11, any future agenda items that need to be posted? If not, then Mr. Attorney, any closed session items?
There are none, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And Mr. Love, any more business that needs to be dispensed with at this time?
No, Mr. Chairman.
So be it. So we'll go ahead and adjourn today's morning meeting. Thank you for everybody for participating.